Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Thin Lizzy still didn't make it. That's all right. Foreigner did.
You're going to die on that hill, aren't you?
I am going to die on that hill.
It's going to be a lonely hill.
It's going to be a very, very lonely hill.
Plenty of space.
Cher got in. So did Dave Matthews. Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne wasn't in already. A Tribe Called Quest and Mary J. Blige all made it in. Not making it in this year, Thin Lizzy, Sinead O'Connor, Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, please get him in there.
And Mariah Carey.
Isn't Black Sabbath already in? For Ozzy?
I believe Black Sabbath is in.
Okay, so he was in there as a lead singer.
Correct.
Okay.
For Black Sabbath, yes. But not as a solo artist. Finally made it in as a solo artist. But, he, they do this, the way they work it is it's 25 years after your debut record.
Got it.
His debut record came out 44 years ago.
Okay.
Slow mover, but he got to the finish line.
Okay.
Let's talk about the record that I believe Tay-Tay smashed over the weekend. Taylor Swift and the Tortured Poets Department has smashed the Spotify album streaming record. And let me tell you one of the reasons why. You need to take a vacation just to listen to all 31 and process every song and what she's saying.
31 tracks.
There are so many, and I have not even gotten to all of them yet.
It says here, Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, has broken the record for Spotify's most streamed in a single day. The pop sensation also became the most streamed artist in a single day. Her hotly anticipated double album released on Friday, sending Swifties around the world into a frenzy. The first 16 tracks dropped as scheduled at 5 a.m. UK time, but just a few hours later, an additional 15 tracks were released, giving your fans plenty to dive into, as well as sending music journalists into a complete tailspin.
You know, one of her songs is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, and Sesame Street had Elmo tweet out over the weekend, Elmo doesn't break his favorite toys. So everyone is getting in on this because it's all anyone's talking about.
Right.
And I just reposted the Spring Hill, Kansas Police Department's breakdown of her lyrics through the eyes of law enforcement. And I posted, this is so funny, I'm crying. So they took lyrics from every single 31 songs. They pulled a lyric from all 31 songs. And then they framed that through the lens of what the law says.
Okay? Give me an example.
So one of the greatest songs on that album is Fortnite. And the line is, I wanna kill her. So this is number one. From the Spring Hill Police Department. I want to kill her. Murder is illegal.
Yes, it is.
From the Tortured Poets Department, throwing spikes in the road. We can do that. You can't. From My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, the line is, stole my tortured heart. Spring Hill. Theft is illegal. Torture is creepy. Also illegal.
Okay. Okay.
From Down Bad, the line, waking up in blood. Please seek medical attention. From the hit track So Long London, I stopped CPR. After all, it's no use. Spring Hill. Please do not stop CPR until you call 911 and EMS arrives on scene to take over. from Daddy I Love Him. I'd rather burn this. This sounds a little violent. This took some time. From Daddy I Love Him, I'd rather burn my whole life down. Again, arson, illegal.
Oh no, this album is incredibly depressing.
The line fresh out of the slammer, I know who my first call will be. Spring Hill. It's important to support your loved ones after release from jail, empowering them to make better decisions in the future.
Okay. Very important.
From Florida, and my friends all smell like weed. Spring Hill. Weed is still illegal in Kansas. from I Can Fix Him. Trust me, I can handle me a dangerous man. Spring Hill. Define dangerous, then let's reconsider that date.
Okay.
And the last one I'll give you from Love of My Life. When your impressionist paintings of heaven turn out to be fake. Spring Hill. The sale of counterfeit merchandise is illegal.
All right. Enough.
It's so good.
They had fun with it. Man, she has that formula down, though. She bragged years ago about having the perfect pop song formula and having cracked the code. And it's clear she continues to do it.
I mean, these are dark lyrics.
Oh, no, they're all depressing, all 31 songs.
There's another one later about murder, and they just go refer back to track 22.
And one, and track one.
I look into people's windows in case you're at their table. Spring Hill, you're under arrest, Peeping Tom, weirdo.
The workload of parents who stay at home with their children has a pretty high value. A new study by Bike Biotechnology looked at household and child care tasks by stay-at-home parents for up to four children in 80 major cities worldwide. It analyzed how much the parents' labor would cost to outsource those chores like cleaning, cooking, shopping, transportation, emotional support, tutoring. Of the 10 cities where stay-at-home parents of two were the most valuable, four of them, Dana Wright, were in the United States. San Francisco was the highest-ranked American city. Researchers found a stay-at-home parent of two children in San Fran does roughly $5,200 worth of tasks every single month. Washington, D.C. was ranked 7th, $4,400 per month. New York City, 8th, $4,300 a month. And L.A., 9th, $4,200 a month to outsource that work to somebody else.
We are not looking to make this a topic again. We have done this three times since it was announced. The Supreme Court, starting today, is taking up one of the most important cases with respect to homeless rights and cities' rights in more than 40 years. I'm just going to read the headline this morning from the Wall Street Journal as oral arguments have already started. The Supreme Court today is signaling sympathy for the cities plagued by homeless camps.
By the way, the lawsuit brought by Grants Pass, Oregon, a small town there who said that they're being overrun.
The Supreme Court, after just day one.
What does this mean?
Today seems ready to let cities crack down on homeless encampments after Monday's arguments in which conservative justices questioned lower court findings that ordinances restricting sleeping in public amounted to unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment. And Scott, you missed this. They are using the Eighth Amendment in their argument that it is cruel and unusual punishment to remove someone from public property in a tent if there is no other option for them to stay somewhere else.
Oh.
So Grants Pass, Oregon, shut this down, kicked everyone out, and removed all of their tent cities from inside the city. And somebody on behalf of the Oregon Law Center and on behalf of the homeless people filed suit. And it's made it all the way to the Supreme Court.
And so do I understand this correctly? The Supreme Court seems to be siding with those who are homeless?
This is just No. They are siding with the cities.
With the cities, okay.
You know, people watch the line of questioning. How were the justice questioning both sides?
Right.
And based on just day one, it seems they are with Team City and not Team Homeless Encampment.
Good.
And keep in mind, Scott, every single sheriff's department, police department, all of the authorities are begging the Supreme Court to once and for all say, what is the rule? Because you know this is whack-a-mole. The city spend $100,000 to clean up an encampment over here.
Why not?
And then it pops up over there.
Well, but why not make this a topic? I think this is something that we're all dealing with right now.
By the way, the state of Missouri banned camping on state-owned property anywhere in the state that was not authorized. Of course, campgrounds are different. And the Missouri Supreme Court overturned that, depending on the
even the state of Missouri saying, please finish this once and for all. Who has the right to camp out in a parking lot? This is not just about in the vestibule of the library.
Right.
In a parking lot, under a bridge.
In a park.
Okay. Do you individually have that right? What if there's 35 people who are now defecating in a public park? And again, the Supreme Court today seems to be leaning on the side
of the cities.
Of the cities.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, story here from NBC News. Conservative Supreme Court justices today appeared skeptical about a challenge to municipal ordinances that would punish homeless people for camping on public property when they have nowhere else to go. The court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, we don't get into politics, is reviewing an appeals court ruling that said several ordinances enacted by the small city of Grants Pass, Oregon, are prohibited under the Constitution's Eighth Amendment, which bars cruel and unusual punishment. The ordinances bar sleeping or camping on publicly owned property, including sidewalks, streets, bridges, city parks. Punishment, which is the key issue in this case,
because they were ticketed,
could include fines of up to several hundred dollars for people who clearly could not afford to pay it, and exclusion orders barring people from public property.
And repeat offenders, I believe, could get up to 15 days in jail.
Now, they've tried to chip away at this before using various laws, Scott, okay? They've tried and failed.
All right.
This is the first time I've ever heard of the Eighth Amendment argument that it violates their right to be free of cruel and unusual punishment. Is it cruel and unusual, which we usually hear in death penalty cases, right? Is it cruel and unusual punishment to find someone who has no other place to go?
Define no other place
for,
to go.
For sleeping on a sidewalk or a park bench.
Well, and quite frankly, define unable to pay. If you are homeless, there is no way that you could pay that fine.
Correct. So we're criminalizing homelessness, which we know, by the way, does not work. It doesn't work.
No, but and I've said this 1,000 times on this show, and I'll say it one more time. Homelessness is one of those problems in America that for whatever reason, there just is no solution. There just isn't.
We could ask the Sacklers to pay for it.
Really?
Was it this bad before the opioid crisis? The answer was no. The answer is no.
Well, I don't know about that.
It was never this bad before.
Well, homelessness has been a problem for a long time. I mean, but you could also blame the wars. I mean, I wouldn't say a majority, but a number of people who are homeless in America are people who have come back from combat who suffer from PTSD, other mental issues.
I think some of our homeless are veterans. I think the majority are not.
Interesting question from the text line. How do you even plan to enforce these fines?
Well, that's why the police and sheriff's departments and lobbies, and they're all saying, tell us what the rule is.
But how do you plan to enforce these fines in terms of, sure, you arrest them, you write down their name and whatever information they give you, whether it's true or not.
Assuming they have an ID.
Yeah. And then you say, okay, we're going to need $500 by next week, please. And then you never see them again.
And they have no address.
We had a case manager call in last week, and she said this is the problem. It's so multifaceted, mm-hmm. where they're unbanked, obviously. Most of them don't have
They don't have a dime to their
ID.
Name.
They don't have a passport. They don't have a dime to their name.
So how do you extract $500, or even if it was $50, how would you extract $50 from somebody who can't
pay? That is not the question in front of the court. The question in front of the court is it cruel and unusual punishment to move them along from point A to point B to point C to point D?
But the way I read this story is it is also being considered whether it's cruel and unusual punishment to fine them for not having a place to go. You can't fine people who don't have money, who don't have a bank account, who don't have an address for you to even bill them. Homelessness, as much of a problem as it is, and I think it's lesser of a problem here than it is in cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Right.
Having said that, what do we do about it? Do we move them to the outskirts of town and just create like a Woodstock-esque campground where they just hang out?
And where do we do that? Behind Johnny's?
I don't know.
In downtown Lawrence? Because that did not work.
That did not work. You're right. You're absolutely right. Jim in Topeka. Jim, hello.
Well, there's a missing component to this, and that is when you're taking public property and changing it over to private use arbitrarily. So they are essentially trespassers because they have put their tent up and they say, this is where I'm at, and you can't remove me. Now, that's converting public to private, and you're not allowed to do that. And I don't understand why that isn't the biggest argument that we're coming up against. Yes, I know there's a whole lot of other things about that, but the government officials themselves can get in trouble for allowing the public property to be converted to private use without doing several things about that. So there's many more things to it and many more arguments to that should take precedent. And I don't understand why we're not hearing about that. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are originally what I said in the beginning. This is a problem with no solution.
Yeah.
And Dana, what are we going to do, throw money at it? They did that in Seattle,
and that didn't work either.
$100,000 per homeless person.
One of the things we talked about last week, you look at the case in front of the Supreme Court starting today. Either way, it's going to have enormous ramifications for cities, and here's why. Just don't even think about, are they going to rule, yes, the cities have the right to kick out the homeless people, or no, they don't. It doesn't matter. Either way, it's not going to solve the problem, and cities are still going to be grappling with what to do about it. So if the court rules, get them out. You can clear out all these homeless encampments, start fining people. You're just kicking them down the road to another spot.
Right.
If the court rules that the encampments have every right to be there, and because of your Eighth Amendment protections, the cities can't kick you out, we are going to start seeing encampments pop up now everywhere without any threat of law enforcement being able to do anything. Either way, it's still a dumpster fire.
But do you have the right to just camp out on a public sidewalk?
And that's what they are going to figure out, right. And I think they're going to say no.
I think the answer is no.
By the way, the state of California spent on average $100,000 per homeless person every year for 5 years.
Yep. Seattle did the same thing. They spent $100,000 per homeless person.
For 5 years in a row?
Yes.
If they had just given them that money, they could have gone and bought a house.
That's exactly right, Sam.
I want $500,000.
But here's the deal. If homeless people have the right to camp out on a public sidewalk.
Yeah.
Don't just think about downtowns. Think about the sidewalk in front of your house. That's a public sidewalk.
We talked about this because it was Kansas City, Missouri, was it not,
Every metro municipality.
Where a listener called in and said there are three cars belonging to homeless people, and they just park right in front of my house. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. And then there was another spot downtown where there's just a tent in front of this house. It's right there on the sidewalk on the corner, but it's also right in front of this person's house. And they were like, we can't even come and go.
By the way, the law says that you can't leave that vehicle there for more than 48 hours.
Okay, so you move it 2 more feet.
Yep. Not in the same spot. I was
just moved it
down there yesterday.
Yep.
I don't even need gas. I just threw it in neutral and rolled it.
Yeah. That's right. Pushed it 2 feet, and look at where I am now. I'm in a different spot. You would not want, let's be honest, everyone. Let's be honest with each other. You would not want a homeless person putting up a tent on the sidewalk in front of your house. I wouldn't. I'll be the first to admit it. Not in my backyard.
So when people hear sidewalk, and we're talking about this story, I think you think like the sidewalk in downtown Lawrence, which we saw this weekend. There are homeless people in downtown Lawrence.
That's right.
Reframe this and think about the sidewalk right in front of your house.
Which is public property.
And then does your viewpoint change? I think for most people, the answer is it would.
913-586-7798. 586-7798.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Mind blown. I just told this to Dana, and she's like, why do you do this to me? The letter A does not appear in any number from 1 to 999.
Oh, yeah.
The first time the letter A shows up in a number is in 1,000.
Right. You can also throw 0 in there because 0 is A-less.
That is correct, Sam. Thank you.
I said, why is that something I need to know? And further, why is that something you just dumped on me during a break where I've got other stuff going on? And now in my mind, I'm going through all of the numbers I can think of between 0 and 999 just to see if you're wrong.
Did somebody find a meme on Facebook?
Yes, they did.
I think he did.
Okay. That's exactly what this sounds like to me.
Some memes are meant to be shared and some memes are not.
Did you know that the number 0 has 4 letters?
God. Which someone had to think about that and then think, yeah, I'm going to post that and wreck everybody's day.
Why does it wreck your day?
Because I don't want to think about it. And now all I'm doing is thinking about it.
Because you're trying to prove me wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure that you're correct. Like 30, 40, those don't have A's in them.
50,
no.
60, 70, 80.
And then if you just
Why are you thinking about this so much?
If you just go 1 through 9, which is covers all of it, there's no A in 1 through 9.
Right. The first A shows up at 1,000.
Fine.
1,000.
The more you know. We're an educational program.
Right. Yeah, you're welcome,
that,
people.
You know.
From the New York Post, in March of 1970, O.J. Simpson served as a witness in a landmark court case brought by the family of a paralyzed football player against a major helmet maker. His adroit performance on the stand, experts say, helped the NFL shrug off the dangers of CTE for decades.
Oh, it helped the NFL shrug off the
correct.
Dangers.
Correct.
So he's killed even more people than two.
Well,
wow.
Whoa. Unnecessary attack.
Accurate.
2 years after winning the Heisman Trophy at USC, and a year after becoming the first round draft pick for the Buffalo Bills, O.J. Simpson was tapped by the legal defense team of Rawlings Sporting Goods. The equipment maker had been slapped with a $3 million lawsuit, the first of its kind to reach a jury, by the family of Ernie Pelton, the former running back at Sacramento, California's Rio Linda High School, had been paralyzed from the neck down after a helmet-to-helmet hit in 1960. Simpson, already a local hero at the time around his hometown of San Francisco, before becoming a national celebrity, charmed a star-struck jury as he defended the plastic helmets that were produced by Rawlings. Quoting here from Simpson, "I believe in this helmet, who wore a Rawlings helmet as a running back for the Bills. I know every time I get on the field, there's a chance that I get hurt. Asked on the stand to read the warning label inside the Rawlings helmet, which said players should avoid all purposeful contact, Simpson quipped, I try, but I haven't succeeded."
They had to pick Mr. Charisma himself.
Okay.
By the way, from the text line, when does the letter B first show up in a number?
Oh, good God.
Billion?
What about Q?
Quadrillion?
Quintrillion?
Quintrillion. Quintillion? Oh, quadrillion would be earlier. You're
Sam,
wrong text line.
We're done. We're done trying to put letters and numbers because it makes my head hurt.
What about the letter Z?
Nope. Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. The House passed legislation on Saturday that would ban TikTok in the United States if the popular social media platform's China-based owner does not sell its stake within 1 year. But the story goes on to say, do not expect the app to go away anytime soon.
Mm.
The decision by the House to include TikTok as part of a larger foreign aid package, a priority for President Joe Biden with broad congressional support for Ukraine and Israel, blah, 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 fast-tracked the ban after an earlier version stalled in the Senate. A standalone bill with a shorter 6-month selling deadline passed the House in March. The modified measure now goes to the Senate after negotiations that lengthened the timeline for the company to sell in 9 months. Now they've moved it to 1 year. Do you have TikTok?
I don't use it. I believe I've signed up for it. I've never used it. I don't have the bandwidth to add another social media thing to my life.
Have you seen the commercials that they've been running?
No.
Oh my gosh. TikTok is on full scale to try to convince the American public to keep it.
I was going
to
say, they know that there is a chance that they will be banned, and they're doing everything they can to fight that.
Sam, do you have it?
What?
TikTok.
No. Dear God.
Right.
What does that mean?
I try to limit my social media. Thank you, Twitter, for always being the pinnacle of things that I can scroll through and put down easily. I used to be addicted to Reels, and I still go to the Instagram Reels, which is just Facebook's version of TikTok.
It's every like once funny in a little while. Videos.
Yeah, those are cute. Those are fun.
But it's so addicting that I had to train myself to not do it because, you know, you look up from your phone and it's been 45 minutes.
See, that is all that Maya does. Like, she will not watch television. And I'm like, what are you doing, babe? She goes, oh, I'm just watching my videos. Just watching my videos. She watches TikTok videos nonstop.
I can't do
when
it.
When she's over at the house.
Also, there's some weird stuff on those apps.
What do you mean?
You can, if your algorithm gets off, you get some stuff that you're just like, why is this even allowed on the app?
I told you the other day, I started following Native American women, like culture, on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Really?
And Facebook started pushing scantily clad Native American women to my Facebook feed.
It's a loincloth.
Yes. Mm. I showed this to Scott the other day, and I go, what is it about me just saying, and by the way, I have my Indian card showing that I'm about a fifth-ish. What is it about me just saying that that's what I am, that now Facebook thinks I want to see naked women who happen to be Native? What?
See, I started following Reels on Facebook, and I don't know what I pushed, but now I'm getting, like, workout chicks. It's so weird.
It literally tracks how long you watch certain
Reels. That's what it is. It will watch your eyes to see what you are looking at. But I'm telling you, I'm not looking at scantily clad Native American women.
Well, how
Sam,
long
did
you keep that post on your phone?
I think the first time I was like, why is this on my feed? I wasn't looking at it because I was more like, what is this? I didn't follow this.
Well, it thinks since you stayed on that specific post for 45 seconds that you want to see more of that content.
It was not 45 seconds.
Was it before
seconds.
Or after you bought the calendar of scantily clad firefighters?
That was a gift sent to me. That
by
was
whom?
Not from my girlfriend who lives in Boston. That was not something I purchased. I'm telling you, these phones are going to be the death of us.
Did
I think
where is your calendar?
I moved it down there because someone in the studio complained. And I'm like, first of all, they were kind of joking, complaining, but they were like, I just can't. I'm covering this up. I'm like, really?
The weekend guy?
I don't know.
On the Saturday morning crew,
It was. I didn't even know we had a crew in here on Saturday mornings.
I know.
Okay.
It's called Sam.
Is it on the right month?
Yeah, I think so.
No, just the hottest firefighter.
Does it matter?
I guess it doesn't.
They're putting out fires every month of the year, pretty sure.
Putting out a fire in you?
Are we feeling James or Bill today?
What'd you say?
I think it's
James. Are we feeling James or Bill today?
We're feeling Bill. New study finds that 40% of Americans do not know what a 401k is.
What?
40% of Americans.
No.
Yep. We know that, reading here from the story, we know plenty of Americans are challenged by financial literacy, but a new poll highlights just how challenged many are when it comes to the basics. A new national survey of 2,000 Americans, evenly split by generation, reveals that 43% of Americans do not know what a 401k is. The study, which was commissioned by Beyond Finance, examined Americans' financial literacy, commitment to learning and adopting healthy money habits, and feelings regarding their bank accounts and financial futures. Only 2 in 5 respondents, 40%, consider themselves more financially literate than others, and a third don't know what interest is in a financial context.
Okay, but when they say they went across all generations, are we also asking 9-year-olds what a 401k
is?
No,
I think my estimate would, or my guess would be that this is 18 and over.
So okay.
The young generation, the Sam's generation, our generation, my mom's, your mom's generation. The top reasons respondents cited for postponing personal financial tasks included stress, 25%, feeling their financial health is already poor and they can't get any worse, 16%.
I'm surprised that's not higher.
And forgetfulness, 13%. But 43% said they had no idea what a 401k is.
You know, the rules changed this year so that you are automatically opted in to saving.
I agree with that.
And you have to do the paperwork if you would like to opt out. And I agree with that, too, because it collectively affects all of us.
Right.
That no one is saving or at the rate that they should be saving. There's going to come a point in 20 years or 30 years where that train comes crashing down the tracks and no one our age or younger has any money to retire.
Well, and while 43% of Americans don't even know what a 401k is, 50% of Americans don't contribute to a 401k or have the option to contribute.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, there's a different way to say that. They
don't or can't.
Because well, they don't
I think both.
Yeah, or yeah. They can't because they're hourly workers.
Mm-hmm. But they could still contribute to some sort of a retirement account.
Right, they have the option to, but they would rather have whatever.
I'll tell you this right now, if I did groceries. Not have a job that just automatically took it and put it away somewhere with somebody in charge of that, you know, Dana, I wouldn't have it.
You wouldn't
it.
Do it?
Nope.
Really?
I where would I go? I would go to UMB Private Wealth Management. Shameless plug.
nice.
Well played.
But if I had started out at like age 20.
Well, that one just came out of nowhere.
No, if I had started out at age 20 or 21 and didn't know how to start, no. But my kids all know because I like impress upon them that they have to do that.
See, and I told Sarah the second she got her job working at that ad agency in Westport, I said, sweetheart, you have got to get into the 401k.
Take the match. Yep, take the match. It's free money.
Immediately. Yeah, that's right. It's a 3% pay raise. Right out of the gate,
yep.
It's a 3% pay raise.
I'm pretty sure my oldest child has more in savings than I do.
That scares me.
Well, it makes me so happy for him.
And scared for you. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. You just have to wonder what goes through people's brains sometimes. Oh, Columbia University just announced their president is going to resign over her handling of anti-Semitism on campus. You know, they went to online today. Today is Passover. And because of all the anti-Semitism.
Not good.
No, this is not good. Well, they went to online learning today instead of in-person classes. Because of all the anti-Semitism at Columbia University, the president of Columbia University announcing that she will now resign. That's just in from CNN.
How many school presidents is that now that have resigned because of their comments regarding...
Three?
There's also, Scott, an article that was just posted on the front page of the Lawrence Journal World where the city commissioners are trying to figure out what the law says with respect to someone who came into a city commission meeting this week spewing racist and anti-Semitic hate speech. This just happened in Lawrence.
Ooh.
Disruptive? Yeah. Yes. Offensive?
Misdemeanor?
Yes.
Okay. Misdemeanor.
But is it protected? That they are looking to see how to handle this.
So I'm no lawyer, but for it to qualify as hate speech.
Hate speech is legal speech. You know that. Say,
that's right. It would have to be addressed at an individual, not at a group.
Directly threatening.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Dana was Jewish, I would have to say something anti-Semitic to her.
Oh.
Not to Jews writ large.
It happened at Tuesday's city commission meeting, and it says the city is assessing its options.
You want to talk about that in the 4 o'clock
hour?
Well,
I think we should, but
no.
The words.
We're going to do a show tomorrow.
The words are shocking.
Can you repeat them on the air?
No. But are they protected? One of the words was a C-bomb, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Presumably into the microphone at the city commission meeting.
Wow. Speaking of anti-Semitism, 4 Germans were caught laying white roses in memory of Adolf Hitler.
Good God.
At the house where the Nazi dictator was born in Western Austria. A lot of people don't know that. Adolf Hitler was not a German. He was an Austrian. On the anniversary of his birth, which was 420, by the way, and one gave a Hitler salute as they posed for photographs. Hitler was born on April 20th, 1889, in Braunau am Inn in Austria. After lengthy wrangling over the future of the house where he was born, work started last year on turning it into a police station, a project meant to make it unattractive as a pilgrimage site for people who want to glorify Adolf Hitler. Police in Upper Austria province said the 4 Germans, 2 sisters, and their partners in their 20s and early 30s went to the building on Saturday to lay white roses in the window recess. They posed in front of the house for photos, and one of the women gave a stiff-armed Hitler salute.
Good God.
Why not tear the house down? Why even
Great question.
Why even bother turning it into a police station? Tear that house down.
Great question.
It serves no purpose.
Don't tell me it's protected in some way.
Well, historically, no. What, as the birthplace of the most notorious mass murderer of all time?
Tear it down.
I have no problem with that at all. Tear that building down. Quick break. We got the news coming up here in about 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ, we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.